This is November 12th, and we're studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse by verse, and finally we've gotten to the Bhava Bhakti chapter, and towards the end of it actually, it's kind of a short chapter, and this verse is, he was just describing about Rati, these different types of Bhava Bhas or Rati Avas, Chaya, and pratibimba that are exhibited by different types of personalities that may approach devotees or associate with devotees. And then he explains how that even if a person may be a mayavadi or he may be a sense enjoyer, and he may take up bhakti because someone tells him that if you take up the practice of bhakti, it will help you. They're not bhaktas, but they may be said, if you do deity worship, like some mayavadis, they sometimes worship deity. They say if you do deity worship or you do chanting, sometimes they chant maha mantra or even they play harmonium. If you do kirtan or chant or do puja, it will help you fix your mind, and it's a good adjunct or assistant to help you advance to your particular path of yoga or gyan. Of course, ultimately they don't really care about Krishna to serve him. And then even though they may mix up with devotees because they don't really know how to do kirtan very well themselves. So they find some genuine devotee, advanced devotee, and they go and they do kirtan with him. They find, oh yes, sometimes, and they're chanting along with the devotees, the pure devotees, but their conception, what they're thinking of, is something different. But there's somehow they're taking part, and they're utilizing the vibration or the intensity or the focus of it all to intensify and focus on their own goal of their sadhana, which may be Brahma Sayujya or God knows what. Kaivalya Mukti. And then so now he's saying that he just to show the power of bhava and the power of associating with advanced devotees, because he mentioned earlier that we attain bhava by sadhana, vaidya raganuga, or by the mercy of devotee or the Lord. And then he described how even people that are mayavadis or yogis, they associate with devotees and they get something. They pick up something. They get a shadow of it, or they get a reflection of it, and it stays for some time, and they may even tremble, they may even cry, and they get some reflection or get some experience or shadow of being with that great devotee or that Bhava Bhakta. That's how powerful Bhava Bhakti is. It even affects, even creates heart in the heartless. It creates heart in the heartless, because a Mayavadi or Jnani, to some extent, they're heartless. They're not interested in the path of the heart, in the Bhakti Marg, the Gyan Marg, it's a dry path. But they associate with this rasik bhakta by chanting, serving, and he says if they come to a holy place, and they associate with devotee and take snan, do a few things, the combination of these things can create this rati abhas, the semblance of bhava, and it may even last for a short time, even after they leave. They remember, oh, Vrindavan was so nice, and they cry, even though they're so hard-hearted, mayavadis, etc. But then it disappears. And then generally, because they make some aparad, Rupa Goswami we discussed yesterday, when they offend that devotee, pure devotee, then whatever they had, whatever shadow, chaya, rati abhas, or pratibimba rati abhas, a shadow or reflection of a semblance, of bhava, it disappears. And that's what, now he wants to explain, it was very systematic. He wants to explain what happens to someone who's clear-hearted and he associates with the Bhava Bhakta. Gada sangat sadayati mamuksho supratishtate abhasatam asokyam va bhajaniyesha bhavatam. By intimate association with a person who strongly desires impersonal liberation, real bhava becomes bhava bhash, and becomes worship of the self as Lord. So this is the negative thing that, if even, because he said in the previous verse, he was saying that if someone offends, he said by offense against a dear devotee, even real bhava will be destroyed, at least the manifestation, this life, what one has attained will carry to next life. And then he says if the offense is medium, it becomes bhava vas. If the offense is slight, then it becomes inferior type. Now he says that that's a continuation. But if a person has real bhav, he has real bhav, and so that's why we say, what is that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Mayavadi shunya bhashi. Mayavadi shunila bhashya. Mayavadi bhashi shunile sarva bhakti nash. Says if you hear the commentary of the Vedanta Sutra by Mayavadis, then sarva bhakti nash. All of the devotion will be destroyed. That means, doesn't mean it's like cutting the grass. The root will still be there. The bhakti sanskaras will still be in the chitta, but your grounding, your this particular life's experience of bhakti will be destroyed, because what will happen by that hearing, doubts will be created, and you may give up that bhakti you've attained, at least the attachment to it and the practice of it, and take its keen interest in sense gratification. You become interested in sense gratification, or you may even follow the path of Kaivalya. That can happen. But the bhakti that you accumulated, nehabikrama nashosti pratyaveno navidite, that's not lost. It's in your, the next life, that will surface. But you may spin a whole life by hearing Mayavadi philosophy. A person as neophyte, especially, Lord Chaitanya doesn't qualify that, he just says anyone. Mayavadi vashya shunile sarva bhakti nash. So it doesn't mean, sarva bhakti nash means everything is, no, because bhakti is eternal. So the bhakti sanskaras stay in the chitta, but the present life maybe, you may lose your ground and your field and your grounding and practice of bhakti. The next life, you'll start where you left off. So now the next verse is 1356. Ateva kvachit teshu navya bhakteshu drishyate shanam ishara bhava yam nityado mukti pakshaga. It is seen sometimes that new devotees, absorbed in the goals of different types of liberation, identify themselves with the Lord momentarily during dancing or other acts of devotion. Ishvara Bhav. So he's, Rupa Goswami is commenting, Navya Bhakta Drishyate. A new bhakta, Navya Bhakta is a new bhakta. For a moment, he may identify and think that, you know, I'm dancing in the Rasa dance like Krishna or something. And he thinks that I'm like the Lord for a moment. It is seen that new devotees absorb in the goals of different types. I mean, in other words, one's a devotee, but he still has a desire to go back home, back to Godhead. He wants salvation. He wants to go to Vaikuntha, Salokya Mukti or Sarupya Mukti, Sharshti Samipya. And these are, of course, not bad. Desire to go back to Godhead. But ultimately, Lord Chaitanya explains that when one comes to the platform of, Ruchi, when one comes to the platform of Ruchi and Bhakti, he has so much taste from performing Bhakti that he doesn't care if he takes rebirth. Until one experiences Nam Ruchi, till one experiences Nam Ruchi and Katha Ruchi and actually taste from devotional service, which comes after Anishta, then he'll be anxious to get out of this place. He'll be anxious, he'll be propelled and interested to get Mukti or go back to Godhead. He can't really honestly say from the core of his heart, Nadanana Janana Sundaram Kapitam Pajagadishakami, Mama Janmani Janmani. He really can't say, Mama Janmani Janmani. Yes, I don't care, I'll take birth after birth, I don't care. This is nice. I'll stay here. Especially if he gets the different Puranas and they talk about the future of Kali Yuga and he looks at that and says, oh, I don't want to come back. This world's going to be so bad in the future and worse, you know, become worse and worse and worse. Because this is the symptom of Ruchi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Ruchi brings with it such a strong taste for Krishna that one loses his practically all his taste for things of this material world, and even loses his taste to go back to Godhead or for Vaikuntha Mukti. So this is the Navya Bhakta. He still has some taste because he's not on the level of Ruchi, and he's identifying with these different types of Vaikuntha Muktis, and then while doing different acts of devotion, he may have this Ahangrapasam, or think, not that exactly, but thinking he's God. And then Jiva Goswami gives a commentary. He says, the attempt to identify oneself as the Lord may last even for a long time, especially in those that are absorbed in the goals of Srupya, Sharsti, and Samipya. Nothing more is said. I can't say more either. In text 57, then Rupa Goswami says, Saranaksham vina yasmin akasmat bhava ikshate vignas stagitam atroyam pragbhaviyam susaranam. Susaranam. Bhava sometimes suddenly appears in a person without performance of sadhana. That's very interesting. Without sadhana or mercy, and without scriptural knowledge. It should be inferred that in a previous life, some obstacle interrupted that person's skillful sadhana. And in this life, the obstacle has finally been removed. So that's why, in other words, it's sudden, but it's not, there's a cause. Every effect has a cause. We don't see, apparently in this life, we can't find a cause. He didn't do any sadhana. No, Krishna hasn't given his mercy, obvious mercy or devotee, and he doesn't know anything about scripture, but he's exhibiting, he's attained some symptoms of bhava. It's from last life. Jiva Goswami says, in other words, he got the blessings of Krishna. You get bhava by blessings. He got the blessings of Krishna devotees in previous births. An example is there. Mukunda's commentary gives an example. Sadhana refers to all the causes of bhava. Sadhana bhakti, in other words, these are the causes of bhava. By sadhana bhakti, one can attain bhava by the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of devotee. Knowledge gained through scriptures. Sometimes bhava appears suddenly without knowledge of scriptures and without sadhana. Jiva's repeating the same thing in the verse. This, and it is seen and verified to be real bhava. In other words, the person's exhibiting the nine characteristics of bhava. Virakti and Ashabandha and all these different characteristics. Nam, ruchi, always taste for name, love to live in the holy place, all these nine symptoms. It can verify it. This is Sroblakshana bhava. Not that he's going around crying and this is the secondary, the tatastha lakshana of tears and all these things, but the real surup lakshana, these nine characteristics of bhava, kala twam, it doesn't waste a moment outside the service of Krishna. These are the real measurements. So one can say, oh, he has these nine characteristics, but how he got like this? So one should then infer sadhana from his previous life, as in the case of Ritrasura and others. So, of course, Ritrasura is from the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. And the Ritrasura Upakya, the prayers of Ritrasura are quite famous. And in the sixth canto, many of the acharyas, they write extensive commentaries and speak, even the contemporary acharyas speak extensively on the prayers of Ritrasura from the sixth canto. Because therein we see surfacing what we find fully revealed in the 10th canto. Surfacing in the prayers of Ritrasura, we find Gopi Bhava. We find the intensity of the gopis' dedication, love, and attachment to God that the gopis show so beautifully and perfectly in the 10th canto. So this is the first emergence of Gopi Bhava in the Bhagavatam, some acharyas say. And the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Ritrasura's prayers. So there's some commentary here about this, because there's another nectar, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's a commentary by Mukunda Das. If a person in whose heart bhava has made its appearance is found to cling to some sort of forbidden actions, it is only because Sri Krishna himself desires him by to long for it. To long for bhava all the more. If so, if any unwholesomeness be noticed in a person who has been blessed with bhava, it should be considered as extraneous because such a thing has been caused by the will of Krishna himself. And because it's all due to the grace of the Lord, such a person is all successful in life. An example of this one may refer to Bilva Mangala. Sri Krishna made Bilva Mangala first attached to Chintamani, a prostitute, and afterwards made him completely sacrifice everything earthly at her instance, and absolutely devoted to his supramundane, or let's say, transcendental pastimes. And finally, Krishna appeared before Bilva Mangala in person and took him to Vrindavan. So this is Lisa's commentary. Commentator Mukunda Das is indicating that it didn't appear that Bilva Mangala did anything to become so attached to the Lord. But somehow the Lord favored him. And this is a carryover from, he's trying to support Jiva Goswami's commentary, saying that this must be from his last life, that he was exhibiting signs of being very much attached to this prostitute, Chintamani. But actually this is all basically a play of the Lord in one sense. Otherwise, he could not be such a great devotee that he is. This is his particular viewpoint, Mukunda Das Goswami. But the point for us to understand is, this is the power of bhav, just the very point we're saying, that the bhakti sanskaras, they stay in the chitta. So this person, this particular devotee, in his last life, he attained a level of bhava. And that attainment, that success is carried over in the chitta, that fine layer, fine demarcation between the atma and the ego, as the chitta. And then, when he comes in this life, suddenly exhibits all those qualities of bhava. And people may take that to mean, oh, this is Krishna's mercy. It could, because Krishna, but then it's ruled out here. He's saying, no, he didn't get any mercy. We don't see in this life. But then the point that Jiva Goswami says, he must have gotten mercy in his last life. Because ultimately one cannot attain bhava without the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. And this is, the next verse is verse 58. 1358. Lokuttara chamatkara karakara sarva shaktidha. Ya pratiyan bhavet bhava satu krishna prasadaja. Says here, that bhava which is more amazing than anything in this world, which gives all powers and which is very deep, is caused by the mercy of Krishna. There's a translation here from Nectar Devotion I rather like. It's from Srila Prabhupada translated this verse. If a person completely detached from material enjoyment, if he is, and has developed pure ecstatic devotion, even if he's found sometimes not living up to the standard of devotional service, one should not be envious of him. This is Prabhupada's translation, a little bit different emphasis. Now, Jiva Goswami explains, I'm not sure if it's Jiva Goswami or not, but it's just some comment here, apparently by Banoswami. Previously, three causes of bhava were mentioned, sadhana, mercy of Krishna, and the devotees. Now, bhava arising due to sadhana in previous life has been mentioned. Which of these is best? Oh, this is the point. Rupa Goswami is indicating this verse. He's giving a progression. He said, all right, there's three ways to attain bhava. The kind of bhava that you attain by sadhana, is there any difference? Although the nine characteristics are there in bhava. Is there any difference between one who attains bhava by sadhana or one who attains bhava by mercy of Krishna? So in this verse, he's saying this is special bhava. That if one gets bhava by the mercy of Krishna, it's, and so he uses all these terms. Lokuttara chamatkara sarva shaktidha Krishna prasadaja. By Krishna prasad, if one attains bhava, then it has sarva shaktidha. Krishna will give so many powers will come there in that bhava. It'll have so much prabhav, so much influence and power in that bhava bhakta. And then chamatkara be something wonderful. Chamatkara, lokuttara. Loka means it would be way beyond all the people's conception. Utam loka. Lokatara. Like we say, porna, pornatara, pornatam. This description of Krishna. This tara means exceptional. Very high. So he says, more amazing than anything in this world, which gives all powers, and which is very deep. This is caused by the mercy of Krishna. It's mentioned in the future in the second division that Bhava Bhakta who still has anarthas, this is also Madhurya Kadambini actually, he could commit sin or aparad. This distinguishes him from the Prema Bhakta. However, even if he makes mistakes, because of his level of advancement, Krishna takes care of him. So this is some speciality of Bhava Bhakti, that when Bhava is caused by the mercy of, it's pretty inconceivable, but it's explained by Vishnu Chakravarti and Madhurya Kadambini, that from the level of Bhava, still there's some fragrance. He uses this term, like fragrance. If we have a very nice Vrindavan rose garland, because Vrindavan rose garlands are so fragrant, and we're sitting in a room where someone comes and with that flower garland, they stay for a while and they leave, the fragrance or aroma of that garland will still be there lingering in the room for some time. And if you come, it smells like roses, I don't see any roses. So even at the level of Bhava, although the tendency, and of course there's different types of Bhava also, and different levels of Bhava as everything. But in the general talk is that, according to Vishnath, even at the level of Bhava Bhakti, there's still some fragrance of material desire. But the likelihood of falling down is practically nil. But somehow or other, if someone got extensive, if someone subjected himself, which would be unlikely because one has no taste or attraction at the level of Bhava. However, if one had extensive association with sinful people or sinful personalities that were exhibiting the same samskaras for which he had a fragrance of desire for, that could slide him down from Bhava. He could slide down from Bhava. Fall, he says, even to the level of Bhava. He says one is only secure when he comes to Prema. Because then he's in Sarup City and he's fixed and the whole chitta is completely clean. Fragrance, tendency, anything. So now he's saying, that's what the Jiva Goswami is explaining here. And also Rupa Goswami. He's saying someone by the mercy of Krishna in last life or this life, he attains bhava. But, and it's very powerful, it says Sarva Shakti, it says Lokottara, Chamatkara Sarva Shakti Da. Okay, it's really powerful because it's given by Krishna's mercy in last life or this life. However, it's not perfection yet. It's not prema. And there could be some fragrance of anartha. And that's what he's saying. Because of that fragrance, he may even have some fault. And that's, He may make mistake, but because he's on a level of advancement, Krishna takes care of him. This is what we call love. How advanced a devotee must have been in last life or this life for Krishna to personally favor him with bhav. How much attachment, how much asakti, how much attachment, how much love he must have and sentiments and feelings for Krishna. Okay, there's some residual material desires lingering in his chitta. But he's a bhava bhakta. He has so much asakti that Krishna favored him or whatever, for whatever reason Krishna gave him bhav. Now he takes birth, he received bhav by Krishna's mercy, but he still has something in his chitta. And that something may make him act, make him do some abominable thing. This is what's being said. But because he's of his level of advancement, because he's the level of bhava, then Krishna will come and help him as a loving friend. Hey, what are you, come on. You're my bhava bhakta, what are you acting like crazy and maya? It's very inconceivable because we've seen so many neophytes posing as advanced devotees and nose diving and dive bombing and, you know. And we say, he was in bhav, but he fell down. No, I don't know, he was in bhav and went to ati bhav. Bhav means material existence, right? Bhava sagar, ocean of bhav. And bhav is almost prema. It's divine entrance, ingress of the Lord's Sarva Shakti comes in the heart. Ladani and Samvit, that's bhava, not bhav. At any rate, bless their souls. It's not, honesty is the best policy. I think that's pretty much we can agree on. I'm sorry, I am very advanced devotees in the audience. I'm not really able to give a very erudite or realized discussion on these high subject matters. I'm more of a reader than a teacher, but I'm compelled to read this and share it with everyone. So please forgive me for my lack of qualification to present these subjects adequately to your liking, but I'm trying my best. This is 1:3, verse 59. Janechet jatabhave pi vaigunyam iva drishyate karya tatapi nasuya kritartha sarvatevasaha. Sri Rupa Goswami Pad explains, vaigunya, you can understand. Jane jata bhav, that person in bhav has taken birth. Drishyate vaigunya. We don't see any good qualities of this guy. How is it? He's a bhava bhakta. I thought devotees had 26 qualities. It's a very mysterious points he's saying here. It could really, we don't find example. I mean, I personally never met examples of these, of someone who's on the level of bhava but misbehaving or, I see a lot of misbehaving, but if some apparent fault is seen in a person who has developed real bhav, one should not be hostile to him because he has accomplished the goal in all respects. Kritartha sarvata. Sarvata sa. Kritartha. He's worked. It's kritartha. He's done the work and attained the art of the desirable object. Nasuya. Nasuya, karya nasuya, we should not show envy. Asuya means envy. We should not show envy to him. It says, be hostile. Jiva says, there may be some external bad conduct in a person who has bhava, but one should not be hostile to him. By having bhava, the person cannot be contaminated by those external actions. This is, really can get a lot of mileage out of this if you want to use your carte blanche card and Citibank card and really fool a lot of people for some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Eventually what goes up falsely must come down hardly. Let's put it that way. What goes up falsely comes down hardly. Boom! This is 500 years ago. These things were maybe more common to find Baba Bhaktas and avadhuts and avadhuts, you know, many avadhuts wandering on the planet and siddhas or practically siddhas that were at the level of Baba from last life or this life by divine mercy of Krishna. And somehow they were exhibiting rather extraordinary behavior and maybe even sinful to some extent. Although he doesn't say that, he just says apparent fault. He says vaigunya means some bad qualities. He doesn't say sinful. He just says some bad qualities, bad behavior. So we can't go that far to say sinful. But now Jiva Goswami quotes this verse, which is quite well known. It's an Achvan verse. And apavitro pavitro va sarvavastam gato viva. Yaksamrit Pundarikaksham Sabha Yabhyantara Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Guru Puran. Whether one is pure or contaminated and regardless of one's external situation, simply by remembering the lotus-eyed Lord Pundarikaksha Sri Krishna, one can cleanse one's internal and external existence. This person cannot be criticized, says Jiva, because he has accomplished the goal. He has attained bhav, kritartha. So, of course, one should not take any license from these rather high discussions about Baba Bhakti to presuppose that he or anyone he may run into is under the influence of Baba and exhibiting some bad behavior. One should be very careful about his association and not assume, I mean, of course, respect everyone, serve everyone, but use proper discrimination to choose association, positive association. Nevertheless, Rupa Goswami is advising us to be careful. It's very difficult to judge people. Devotees. Very difficult to judge the attainment of any particular devotee. There are some guidelines and measurements that are given in Shastra, but the Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttam, etc., and different hierarchies within each of those three. Generally, we should just try to choose the associate with advanced devotees and respect everyone else according to their position. And judgment, basically Rupa Goswami is saying many things here. He's defining bhava from different angles. He's also reminding us, he's modulating, let's say, molding our behavior. He's molding our thinking process and behavior because he's the ideal. He's like a sculptor. And this is the science of devotion. So when we enter this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha, we're entering his art studio, let's say. And this book is like, he's the sculptor. Rupa Goswami is the master sculptor of sadhana, of Vaidhi and Raghunuga sadhana, and throughout, actually, all the way to prema. So when we submit ourselves to Rupa Goswami as his servants and followers and students, as sadhakas and even as siddhas, of course, we agree to be molded by his touch. We agree to be shaped by his hands and his instructions and guided by his suggestions. So a lot of what he's telling us here is how to think and how to see and how to feel about our environment and the devotees we encounter within our environment. And often these words are there, respect and be careful, because we don't know how Krishna's working. Krishna is very mysterious. It's very difficult to understand the workings of Krishna. And no one can really get a very clear picture of any aspect of reality unless he's Trikalagya. And he has to be Trikalagya with every jiva. If he meets someone, he has to be able to say, oh, I can see your last life. And I understand your last life's attainment and this life, and I can foresee the future. And then we can, to some extent, with that degree of perception and understanding, to some extent, then we can make some calculation or judgment about the position or identity of that person we may meet. Otherwise, the safest thing is to respect everyone and keep a good distance from everyone and not say, oh, what's this person? Because generally the tendency is that we're very quick to judge. And we have a famous phrase in America, you can't judge a book by its cover. You cannot judge a book by its cover. The cover may be really fancy, and inside there's nothing, no substance, no real contribution or anything valuable inside the book, but a very fancy, attractive cover, or vice versa. So devotees may come in different covers. A Bhava Bhakta may be covered by bad behavior, Vaigunyam. Oh, devotee's supposed to have 26 qualities, humility, respect, and kindness, compassion, all these things. He's acting like Badmash. You know, he's acting very bad. But we don't know. It's very difficult. Rather, we should judge ourselves and measure ourselves and weigh ourselves on a devotional scale. I mean, I think Vishnu Chakravarti and all the great acharyas, they're telling us to, you know, keep yourself on the scale and don't put anybody else there. Keep weighing yourself. Like, you know, athletes, they weigh themselves, you know, what's my weight? I have to lose 5 pounds 5 kilos for the match or something. And they train up and then they look. So we should always be weighing ourselves on a devotional scale given in Madhurya Kadamini. Do I actually have the qualities of Nishtita Bhakti? Or I have so many of the qualities of Anishtita? You know, laziness and all these things that are there. Laya and big shape and all these things. Then when we're busy measuring ourselves and calculating our own weight on a devotional scale, then we don't have time to measure, you know, oh, you're bhava bhakta this, that. Because these are very fine points. If we see a fault in a person who has real bhava, we should not be hostile to him. Because he's accomplished the goal in all respects. The watchword here is caution. Be careful. Of course, be educated also. Be knowledgeable. Because he said earlier that one person he'll have, this person has received the mercy of Krishna, he'll exhibit the Srup Lakshana of Bhava. He'll actually have the 9 characteristics of Bhava. They'll be there. It's not that he's going to be going to the brothel. Because we didn't read anywhere that he's engaging in sinful activities, did we? Just said Vaigunya, a little rough, some rough behavior, maybe not so many good qualities. But I didn't see anywhere Papa. Any pop mention or sinful activity. So it's pretty easy for us because generally so-called charlatans or imitative devotees who even try to imitate advanced symptoms, they usually succumb to various lower impulses and engage in sinful activities which are pretty soon detected. So we'll continue there tomorrow and some discussion about bhava. It's certainly amazing how the Lord works. How kind, I mean, the general impression one gets is how kind and loving the Lord is. That because it, Jiva at every point he has independence. And somehow or other, the archetypal example with Rupa Goswami was discussing in these last few verses is someone who didn't do any sadhana. He didn't do anything, and no anukulya, no Krishna Shilana, no Uttam Bhakti. He didn't do anything. And he didn't engage in any sadhana, but somehow Krishna just in his last life just gave him mercy and he got bhava. That's what we were discussing. Somehow Krishna singled this person out and gave him bhava. So he has bhava, then he takes birth, and he's a little independent, as all jivas are. Starts showing some bad behavior, even hostile behavior. And Krishna says, oh, that's okay, you know, come on. You're my man. Krishna doesn't forsake the devotee. He doesn't, in such a circumstance. Even he's been given bhava, and he takes another birth, and the bhava manifests, and he's still showing his independent nature, still acting in a somewhat unfavorable mood towards Krishna, and maybe being offensive or hostile to other devotees who are Krishna's servants. And Krishna removes that anomaly and still pushes him forward. Doesn't take away that bhava. This is a great, unbelievable bhaktivatsalya of Krishna.